Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Skylar Jeremias. Starting in January next year, the United States will welcome up to 10 adalimumab biosimilars referencing Humira, one of the most profitable drugs in the world. Currently, there are several barriers to uptake for biosimilars, including payer and pharmacy benefit manager interference with formulary placement, misaligned incentives that favor prescribing the reference product over biosimilars, and reference manufacturer-led anti-competitive practices preventing biosimilar market entry. However, there are a number of policy and procedural efforts being put in place by congressional leaders, the FDA, and HHS that could help to boost biosimilar uptake and give adalimumab biosimilars a real chance to gain market share. Today, I'm joined by Julie Reed, Executive Director of the Biosimilars Forum, a nonprofit organization aimed at the advancement of biosimilar adoption through collaboration with biosimilar manufacturers. Prior to her work with the Forum, she served as Vice President and Global Corporate Affairs Lead of Immunology, Inflammation, and Biosimilars at Pfizer, and she is a staunch advocate for biosimilar adoption and the advancement of biosimilar legislation, including President Biden's 2021 Executive Order on Increasing Competition in the Pharmaceutical Sector and the Biosimilars User Fee Amendment 3, also known as BSUFA 3. Our conversation today will focus on how federal policies could shape the adalimumab market next year and what congressional leaders can do now to help the process. Welcome to the show, Julie. To start off, a lot of the biosimilar industry in the United States is focused on the influx of adalimumab biosimilars expected to come next year. What do you think is going to be the biggest factor that will influence biosimilar adoption in this space?
Thanks, Skylar, and again, great to see you again. This is a watershed moment for the biosimilars industry next year, and we're super excited about it. We're also super nervous about it, to be honest. And that's because the biggest piece and the biggest player in this industry, the biggest stakeholder that determines whether or not the launch of all of these adalimumab biosimilars to compete with Humira are successful is whether or not Medicare and the PBMs provide formulary access to all of the biosimilar adalimumabs. This is the key piece of the biosimilars marketplace. It's the competition. And unfortunately, we've seen limited access to formularies by the PBMs, and we're looking forward to Medicare finally taking this up, especially as we're coming up to the one-year anniversary of President Biden's executive order. This is a massive opportunity for savings, a massive opportunity for competition. But the way that Medicare and the commercial PBMs work is that they need to make sure that the ADAs that are launching mid-year have mid-year formulary access. So they need to make sure their policies are up to date. If not, most of the biosimilar adalimumabs are going to launch in the middle of the year, and they may not have access to formulary under the current rules until 2024. So we're missing out an incredible, you know, competition, which is what this is all about and what our members believe in and have spent all these years developing those biosimilars. So that is the number one priority and the number one focus everyone should be looking at. Is I don't want to be on a call with you a year from now and say, Skylar, we told everybody this has got to happen and nobody did it. That would just be very, very disappointing, because that this is the whole promise of biosimilars. It's the whole commitment our members have made over all these years. And so we hope that, again, commercial PBMs and Medicare adopt all these biosimilars that are launching next year.
How can the current rebate system be revamped to encourage fair competition and adalimumab biosimilar adoption?
I'll go back to what I said, but first and foremost, Skylar, it is putting biosimilars on formulary when they are launched, not waiting until the end of the year. They should be doing it just like when generics are launched. they should be putting biosimilars and all biosimilars on formularies when they are launched. That'll give us the best competition. And we all know from experience, the more competition we have, the lower the costs go down. And it's a win-win for everyone. I think the other piece is, you know, one of the key things with the rebate system is how PBMs are defining lowest net cost versus we launch a product, you know, our members are launching products at lower list prices. So we're launching products, you know, the history is on average 30% below. And then as each biosimilar comes in to compete, people are competing for market share based on price. And so to add a rebate on, it's very difficult to think that you want to increase your price by adding a rebate on top of your list price in order to gain formulary access. PBMs, Medicare need to think of that about that differently. Biosimilars should be coming out, competing, have access to the market, and drive the competition. Not compete on a rebate. Let's compete on a free market competition basis, and let's compete on lowering costs. That, again, that's what everyone is looking for, especially patients.
Earlier this year, the Federal Trade Commission launched an investigation into pharmacy benefit managers' business practices and how they've impacted drug prices and access for patients. What needs to happen to ensure that PBMs are held accountable for their practices, especially as everyone prepares for adalimumab biosimilars?
Yeah, you know, we're encouraged that the FTC sought public comments, and this is why, you know, again, the adalimumabs are launching next year. And they're going to launch, you know, they're going to want access. They're going to compete on price. They're going to compete. And the whole history and the whole reason we're here for biosimilars is to create fair market competition and competitors to lower costs. If a year from now, when these products are launched and they're not having uptake and they have no access to formulary, that's a great story for the FTC to investigate. And that is really important. So we're encouraged that the FTC is actually watching this as much as industry is, and we believe policymakers as well.
The HHS Office of Inspector General put out a report that found that Medicare Part D plans missed out on between $84 million and $143 million in savings by prioritizing reference products instead of biosimilars. What actions should CMS be taking now to ensure Part D plans see savings and that patients have access to adalimumab biosimilars?
Absolutely. So, you know, appreciate that the OIG looked at this. Again, I feel like, you know, I shout from the rooftops as well as the industry does, is here's an opportunity. Biosimilars are the opportunity to lower prescription drug costs in this country. And we're missing out. Medicare beneficiaries and government employees and commercial employees who have commercial plans, Medicaids, everyone are missing out on free market competition as a way to lower costs. And that is the most successful way to lower cost in this country, is let's have competition. That's what we're about. And so Medicare Part D and Medicare Part B, you know, both sides need to look at how are they supporting the uptake of biosimilars. Medicare Part D needs to change its policy and make sure all biosimilars, interchangeable and non-interchangeable biosimilars, have mid-year formulary access and access to formularies when they are launched, not just at the beginning of the year. This is going to give them even more robust savings than what the OIG predicted. I think that will happen. You know, having a higher cost reference product on formulary versus a lower cost biosimilar, I don't think that's benefiting taxpayers. And I think taxpayers would like to see the competition, and competition is going to last longer than a short-term thinking, which is the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, is a short-term thinking of negotiation. You're going to have much greater savings if we have robust free market competition from biosimilars.
Another legislative piece generating buzz, as we mentioned before, is BSUFA 3. How can the expansion of user fees help improve access to biosimilars, and how can this influence uptake of adalimumab biosimilars?
So that is the user fee program in supporting the FDA's biosimilars program is one of the priorities for the forum and our members. Having a strong FDA to support the development and approval of biosimilars is very important to us. And we're quite pleased with the BSUFA 3 looking at 15 years. And we were part of those negotiations. A strong FDA is important, but also a strong FDA that works and partners with industry to improve the efficiencies of development of biosimilars and recognize that we have all learned over the past 10 years about how to streamline development of biosimilars, and our technologies and our skill sets have changed and improved. That's what's in BSUFA 3, and it's so important. We're excited that there's a regulatory science component in BSUFA 3 where industry and FDA will partner to advance the development and streamline the development of biosimilars. That's going to help lower cost and for biosimilar development. Another key piece is that in BSUFA 3, you know, we have more surety of turnaround times and clearer communications pathways and shorter timeframes for processes and responses. This is all really good stuff and shows, again, how close that the FDA listens and works closely with the industry, and industry works closely with the FDA to constantly make improvements on the process that will benefit the patients that we're all here to serve. Now, key thing about the user fees is we need to get them passed. And we're, you know, encouraging and calling on the House to get these user fees passed in a timely manner. And it's got to be urgent. It's got to be this month. We need the FDA not to stop anything and to keep going and to continue across the board, again, for consumers across this country. This is not something to be taken lightly. And we, again, a sense of urgency to pass this is critical. I think in reference to the ADAs, now the ADAs are all improved, but imagine the pipeline moving forward as we move into new biosimilars that will be developed and being able to use streamlined development and more technologies that are available. I think that you'll continue to see that there will be competition for reference biologics moving forward as the FDA's biosimilar program grows.
Now, the president just signed the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 into law. The final version of the bill included the provision that would allow Medicare to directly negotiate drug prices with companies, which could hopefully lower drug costs. What does the progress of this provision say about the government's commitment to combating high drug costs?
So I will say that, first of all, the forum does not support the Inflation Reduction Act or negotiation. And we will point back to the HHS OIG study that says our government is leaving savings on the table because they're not supporting competition from biosimilars. And that's the way to go. Negotiation is not the way to go. Competition is. And so we have a sort of a competing dichotomy of policies here. What we are pleased with in the, you know, and so much needs to be done to improve or to change this law. We are, you know, grateful that there is Medicare ASP plus 8% in the bill for biosimilars. That is one step the government is doing to improve access to biosimilars. But a two-year delay, it's not long enough. You know, it takes 6 to 8 years to develop a biosimilar. We are, you know, we are again grateful that there is acknowledgement on how complex it is to develop biosimilar, but there's also the piece where it's not just about the complexity and the years it takes to develop and get a biosimilar approved, but there's also years of intellectual property lawsuits and negotiation and the patent dance and settling all the patents and stuff. That's a whole nother track for biosimilar developers to go through in order to bring a biosimilar to the market. So, you know, again, much improvement needs to be done. Negotiation is not the way to go. It's limited, and free market competition and robust biosimilar competition and bringing lots of biosimilars to the marketplace and providing access to them is going to show greater savings across the board moving forward over the next, not the next, you know, number of decades that we can do this. That's going to be what is really the way to lower drug costs in this country. It worked with generics, it'll work with biosimilars, but it's the people that it's industry. It wants this to be successful. We're investing, think about it, 6 to 8 years to develop a biosimilar. We need everybody around in the marketplace to step up now and say, this is the way to go, and we'll support this. And again, we're grateful to the OIG to point at, you know, wait a minute, guys, we're not doing enough for savings, and we should be adopting biosimilars. So I think it's so important for everyone to remind themselves and to understand the commitment our members have made to taxpayers and to patients looking for lower cost options in prescription drugs. It takes our members 6 to 8 years to develop and receive approval for a biosimilar. And in that 6 to 8 years, it's at least $200 million for all of that development. So it's not a lighthearted undertaking, and it's not development of a generic drug that, you know, companies can develop in 1 to 3 years and for about $5 million. So if you look at the amount of time for the development of these adalimumab biosimilars, 7 biosimilars at least, right? But, you know, well over $1 billion at least. And that has nothing to do with even the patents. So that's an incredible commitment by industry to bring lower cost options. So again, we've got to see our stakeholders, the PBMs and Medicare and the employers, step up and say, we're going to support this free market competition industry because we know this is the way to get to the best cost and the best competition and the best in lowering costs for our beneficiaries.
And what was your reaction to learning that the $35 out-of-pocket cap on reference and biosimilar insulin products for private insurers was removed from the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022?
So this is, you know what, this is another one. So a $35 cap, just like negotiation, is a band-aid approach to a short-term sort of limited focus fix on something. Versus if you look at what works over the long term, I know I sound really repetitive, and I'm sorry, but if you look at what works over the long term, it's competition, right? And so, and you look at, again, the, you know, use the analogy of the generic drug market, okay? And I'm old enough to talk about this, that, you know, when generics were first launched, just like biosimilars, we had the exact same, you know, opportunity for cost savings, yet the exact same barriers were placed in front of the generics. You know, there was low uptake, and there was misinformation about the quality of a generic or the safety of a generic, and we're seeing the same things for biosimilars. But we all know the lessons that we learned. Okay. And so let's go back to the lessons we learned and look at how much money we're all saving and how much more access everyone has to these medicines. The same can be done for biosimilars. So a $35 cap is a Band-Aid versus let's do a comparison where most patients, you know, with insurance have very small copays for generic drugs, in some cases zero. Let's give $0 copay for biosimilars. You know, we all were moved to generic drugs by our employers if we're lucky to have private insurance, but Medicare, everyone, you know, generic drugs, biosimilars, just like generics, with the competition, they should have no copay. Let's encourage patients to use those. So a $35 cap when you could possibly have a $0 copay or a $4 copay or something like that is much better overall because the competition drives the lowering of the copay. So again, you know, it's a very limited view to put a cap on something versus to support the competition and watch how all those costs will go down.
And lastly, do you have any concluding thoughts?
Well, we have a lot to continue to talk about and watch, right? And this is a, you know, a watershed moment, a bellwether moment for industry. So I would say a year, you and I are going to always continue to talk, and I love it. But a year from now, I want to talk and say, Skylar, do you think, what do you think? And we'll see where we're at. But it's not about the industry anymore. It's about Medicare. It's about the PBMs. It's about the employers and those stakeholders stepping up to commit to the success of a free market competition and the success of biosimilars. So let's hold them accountable.
Well, Julie, thank you for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our audience for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. This special episode is a part of a larger series called When Choice Arrives, Competition and Consequences, consisting of 4 articles and 2 podcasts. This series delves into everything that stakeholders need to know as everyone prepares for the 2023 introduction of adalimumab biosimilars. You can find additional information on everything we discussed today and this series in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.